You have been subjected to a subliminal message. A subliminal message not overtly acknowledged, not ever admitted, but a message that has been given to you throughout your lives by your parents, your grandparents, your Sunday school teachers, your mentors, your ministers, a message which next to the words, "We love you," is the most important message they can communicate. That message is this: you bear God's special mark. You are imprinted with the mark of God. The mission of God has been embedded within you. And if you live with a sense of how special you are, how privileged you are to live the adventure of life, how extraordinarily blessed you are to have the kind of talent each of you has been given. If you do that, you will live always in a sense of conversation with an ultimate dimension. You will sense that your lives are lived in conversation with God. You will sense that your lives are connected to an inner vitality. You will live, if you maintain that sense of specialness, that sense of you bear God's mark upon your life, you will live with a measure of excitement that the people around you cannot detect and cannot live. Jesus tried to say this same thing to his hearers. He didn't say you bear God's special mark. Instead, he said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You are called, each of you, to walk your individual narrow way. Every one of us bears the mark of God. And Jesus is saying unto his hearers, you can claim this mark, or you can ignore it. You can let the mark shine forth, or you can obscure it. But if you claim it, the Spirit of God is always whispering to you, whispering to you to renew yourselves, become a new creature in Christ. Renew yourselves and renew the world as you renew yourselves. Be an instrument of redemption. As you live claiming the mark of God upon you, you can live as an instrument of redemption and renewal. Not only in your life, but in the lives of those with whom you come in contact. I want you to understand something. I want you to understand the greatness of the movement into which Christ has enlisted you. If the disciples were sitting here on their high school graduation day, there wouldn't be an honor graduate among them. They were not distinguished by their academic prowess. They didn't have half the IQ Anna has. They were rude, uncouth men and women. But they were marked by a sense of being imprinted and called to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. They were poor peasants, and arrayed against them was the military might, the social prestige, the political system, all arrayed against them. George Lucas never came up with an idea as preposterous as Christ did.
that these poor peasants would stand before every secular judge, every military general, every political potentate, and weather their wrath and prevail. These people, with their sense of God's imprint, lived with an enthusiasm no one could dilute, a courage no one could sway, a vitality no one could quench, because they believed they were called to turn the world upside down. You are a part of their story. If you accept the mission, you are called to take your place in the ongoing continuum of the story of Christ. Every single generation must claim the mantle of being the next group of disciples to turn the world upside down. You have the responsibility of sharing with your friends, instilling in your children, imprinting upon your grandchildren the reality and the necessity and the vitality of the story of Christ. You bear a greatness. You bear a greatness. But it is not your greatness. It is the reflected greatness of God. But that reflected greatness of God is a true greatness. And with it, you can change the world. You're the salt of the earth. And salt has something of a bitter taste. And its bitter taste is bitter to us as well as to the world. There are times in life when we want to be narrow. We want to be selfish. We want to be greedy. We want to be vicious. We want to be violent. And the Word of God comes to us and says, you're the salt of the earth. You can't live according to your whims. You are molded by my values. And the world finds the saltiness of the gospel bitter. You're going to feel the bitterness of the gospel's salt when the word calls you out of the comfort of the herd to stand for Christ, when in your insecurity you want to melt into the anonymity of the crowd. You're going to feel the saltiness of the gospel. One person standing as God's salt can make a difference. When you stand for purity while everybody else is laughing at crudity. When you stand for forgiveness when everybody else is wanting vengeance. When you stand for courage when everybody else is trembling with fear. When you stand for understanding and everybody else is confused. You, one grain of salt. One grain of salt can make a difference. In my hometown, Montgomery, Alabama, 1961, long before y'all were born, a Greyhound bus pulled into the bus station, and out came a group of white and black seminary students dedicated to the proposition, all people are created equal. They were set upon by a group of white supremacists with clubs and bats. And with those clubs and bats, they broke those students' bone. They knocked out their teeth. And one of those young men who came out of that bus was a young man by the name of John Lewis, and he realized, I am about to die. But into that crowd walked one man very different from John Lewis. He was a son of segregation. He was wearing an Alabama public health uniform. But he believed in order and decency. He walked into that mob, that violent mob, and he fired his pistol in the air twice.
And he announced, there will be no killing here today.
One man raised his bat, about to deliver a lethal blow, and this one man, Floyd Mann, put his pistol at that man's head and said, if you swing, you die. One man in an angry mob. One man standing as God's salt. One man who realized that those young people being attacked bore God's special mark. One man who knew that he bore God's special mark and had a responsibility to stand as salt. He even looked at the attackers and knew they bore God's special mark. One man changed the life of every single person in that room.
You bear the mark of God, and you're called to walk a narrow way. Your narrow way. You're going to meet good people in your dorm, in your school, in your class, who you watch succumb to the path of least resistance, the path of self-destruction. You're going to watch people, maybe even your roommate, be consumed by the darkness of conformity to everyone else's expectations. But what the choir is saying is right. You are a warrior for God's light. You are salt. And your weapons are love and hope and peace and grace and mercy and truth and gentleness. With those weapons of the Spirit, you can change the world. How you approach your lives, how you approach the privilege is going to make all the difference. I think of two men out in the broiling sun, pounding spikes on a railway with sledgehammers. While they're doing it, this very nicely dressed man comes over and starts talking to one of them, exchanges pleasantries, and talks a good while, and then leaves. And the one man with the sledgehammer says to the other, who was that guy? He's the president of the railroad. Well, how do you know him? Because 25 years ago, we started out sledgehammering spikes together on the railroad. And the other asked the obvious question. Well, then how come he is where he is and you're still where you are? Because, said the man, 25 years ago, I came to work for $1.25 an hour. He came to work for the railroad. When you come to work for the kingdom of Christ, it makes a difference. When you come to maximize the gift God's given you, it makes a difference. A few years ago, I ran across a speech. I wanted the head of General Motors. And he was speaking to a group of Ivy League MBA graduates about hiring people. Y'all want to get hired, don't you? He said to these MBAs, the most important characteristic in hiring someone is integrity. Because if they don't have integrity, you better hope they're stupid and lazy. Because someone who is efficient and dishonest will ruin you quickly. He says, in our company, we grade everyone on a two-dimension grid. Do they get results? Do they get results in accordance with our values? Those people who get results and do so in accordance with our values, we treasure them, we promote them, we cherish them, we pay them well. Those who get results, who don't get results,
but act in accordance with our values, we give them repeated second chances. Because we believe with the right training, with the right opportunity, if they have integrity, they will succeed. People who don't get results and who don't share our values, we fire quickly. But the hardest are the people who get results, but don't do so in accordance with our values. If we can't train them to follow a pathway of integrity, we have to fire them because in the long run, they will do more harm than good. Your salt, your light, they're needed by the world. Your integrity can be valued wherever you find yourself. Our Lord says to us, walk the narrow way. Right at this point, all of you have walked a path that everyone else has walked. Kindergarten, elementary school, middle school, high school. Now you have to begin making the choices that differentiate your life from everybody else's. You're going to have to make choices of vocation, choices of love, choices of location. You're going to have to make choice after choice after choice. And the truth is, none of us, not even your parents, can make those choices for you. You have to choose that path for yourself. God won't make that choice for you. He'll give you the resources to do it. But you have to choose the path of obedience and service freely. And our Lord warns us one more thing. Don't bury your talent. Salt that's lost its saltness is no good. Who has a light and covers it? That illumines no one. People think of non-believers as injuring the dignity of God. Non-believers don't believe in God. The worst injury to God is done by believers who bury their talent. Because that's saying to God, yes, you've given me these gifts, but I don't believe you can really provide for me. Let your light, light. Let your salt, salt. Use your talent that God has given you for God's glory. And for your own sense of worth. 37 years after he was in that bus station, John Lewis returned to help commemorate a civil rights memorial. As he was in the group, an old white man came up to him and said, you're John Lewis, aren't you? I remember you from the Freedom Rides. Now, John Lewis had had a long life. He came back as a Georgia congressman. And he's looking at this man and has no idea who he is. And then suddenly, the light dawns. You're Floyd Mann. You're Floyd Mann. And he hugs this big old white man and begins to sob and begins to say, you saved my life. You saved my life. And Floyd Mann kind of pushes him away a little bit and then envelops him in a hug. And he says these words, I am right proud of your career. I am right proud of your career. My young friends, you're at the threshold of adulthood. And I'm going to say to you what I said to these children. Life whooshes by. You don't believe it. But there are people in here who can look back on 50 years and go, where did it go? One day, One day the God who has given you this life will call you to account. And I hope you can hear the words that Ralph Mann said to John Lewis. I hope God says to you, I am right proud of your career. May God bless you in every endeavor. May we pray together. Lord, whatever age we are, whatever stage of life we might find ourselves, we are called to be salt. We are called to be light. We are called to tread the narrow way to which you call us. May we claim that destiny and that privilege through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.